This year's long-range strike bomber contract could reshape the defense industrial base, depending on who wins that contract. You can read more about that story and hear my conversation with Richard Abulafia about it at federalnewsradio.com. But the mergers and acquisitions landscape may not shift only at the top level. Jean Stack is managing director at Houlihan Lokey, my first guest on Industry Chatter today, and she's an expert in M&A and the federal business space. Jean, it's terrific to have you on the program. Thank you for joining me today. What does the landscape in M&A look like in the federal business space right now? Is it busy, medium, very slow? Where does it stand right now? Thanks for coming on today.
Oh, no, thank you, Francis. I'm very happy to be here, so appreciate the time. We see just a tremendous amount of momentum in M&A activity in 2015, particularly in the mid and the large size in the upper end of the market. And this follows one of the slowest years that we've seen in 2013 and a little bit of a rebound in 2014. But 2015 is really shaping up to be a much more typical year. And then, again, much more significant activity at the mid and the upper tiers of the market.
You kind of anticipated where I wanted to go. If it appeared to you that this is a buildup because of a very slow 13 and a little bit of a pickup, and where 2015 appears to rank on the historical scale.
Yeah, absolutely. The slowdown was really driven in 2014 was really driven by all the uncertainty in the market. So when you think about investing lots of dollars on M&A, the big question was, well, where do we put those dollars? You know, where are the areas of spending and where are the areas that are going to be those priority areas and how do we shape effectively in a market that has so much uncertainty associated with it? I think after a passage of a budget and much more clarity around sequestration and the outcomes of that, we saw the market really calm down, the public market pricing increase, and just folks get a lot more confidence around where they want to build and how they want to shape their business strategically in the future. And that's what M&A is all about.
Is there a ceiling to the market the way that it stands right now? I'm thinking, what if I'm a company owner and I'm thinking I might want to ride it for another year or two? And then get into the market, start to position myself for sale. Is there a chance I could miss it? I mean, I know it's probably like trying to forecast the stock market, and a lot of people lose a lot of money trying to do that. But I wonder if there are signals that you see along those lines at all.
Well, it's a great question. Timing and M&A is everything. And you really can't, to your point, you really can't predict where the market is going, but really what you can control is how your company is performing in the market. So, the right time for a company is really when they have the right momentum in their business or where they're positioned relative to where the demand requirements are in the market. So, if you look out a couple of years in the future, it's hard to say, what's going to be good, but there's certain attributes of company in terms of how they're positioned from a growth perspective, a profitability perspective, a backlog perspective, and where they're positioned relative to where the market themes are. As examples, lots of interest around mobility, big data, analytics, cloud related offerings, and those kinds of companies are commanding pretty significant premiums.
Mm-hmm.
As are companies in civilian areas, civilian IT modernization, and the Intel community. So, I would say, timing is everything, and then position company for sale when that area, wherever they're focusing, is in the greatest demand is really where you're going to achieve maximum valuation.
Now, I know it's probably not a very scientific term, but I call those kinds of companies buzzword companies because we hear so mm-hmm. much about them in the federal space. Are the larger companies that are buying those companies up, are they buying bottom line, or are they filling in capability gaps, or is it some combination of both or something else?
I love that word, buzzword companies. I will tell you that
you can steal it if you want.
But people can use all the buzzwords they want to use, but if there's no substance
right.
to the buzz, then it really doesn't mean anything, and it really doesn't translate. That really doesn't translate to value. So, being positioned in those areas is great, but what really, when you're talking about a capabilities buy, what buyers are looking for really is how to achieve revenue synergies, how to drive growth in their business beyond just adding revenue, and that's what buying those buzzwords is all about.
Mm-hmm. It's just interesting to me though because I have seen examples of companies, say a company has staked out a space in cloud, and in some cases that company would be a potential target of a company that right now doesn't do anything in cloud, but wants to expand into that space. And in other cases, it might be a situation where a company that's already also well entrenched in cloud just wants to buy some revenue and in an attempt to grow.
So, you know, most acquisitions that we see in the federal place are very strategic. We rarely see people buying more of the same or being successful in winning an auction process of buying more of the same. You know, typically when you see someone buying in cloud or any of those other market areas, whether it be in any particular agency or any kind of capability, they're really looking to fill a gap that they don't have. You know, again, particular technologies, I think, you know, as one example, Boeing just announced a small acquisition today, and it again, it's something that fills something that's missing on the technology side. So, you know, I think folks are really looking for gap fillers rather than just focused on buying more revenue.
Gene Stacks, managing director at Houlihan Lokey, and a recognized expert in the M&A area in the federal business space. What are the companies that are fetching good prices on the market now, Gene, doing 6 months ahead and a year ahead and 2 years ahead of the transaction to position themselves well, above and beyond just doing good work and providing good value to customers?
Sure. And I'd say that they're doing a couple things. One is companies that are very deep in whatever market they serve, they're kind of building that depth, either a depth of a capability or a depth of a relationship with a particular customer. Is one thing. So, you know, it's better to be very, very deep in either the capability or the customer than very diverse. So that's one thing, kind of focused on that. Secondly, they're building their pipeline, they're building their backlog to be able to demonstrate growth into the future. So solidifying that up, shoring that up with wins and the like is really important to really drive value forward. And of course, margin profile. Margin profile, technology acceptance, you know, again, being able to have high visibility in revenue, high visibility in margin is very important. So what we've seen a lot of companies do is focus on getting rid of excess costs in their business mainly, and most of that comes through fine-tuning the back office structure and making sure there's a real strong engine running the back office, but making sure it's again, it's a highly efficient business to really maximize those margins to drive valuation.
I imagine you see companies in all states and shapes and sizes that are interested in at least finding out what the market looks like. When you look at companies or talk to the owners of companies, try to get some information, or they're trying to get information from you, what are the things that cause you most commonly to say, well, you're probably not in a good position to do this right now because you haven't whatever? What's usually that whatever that causes you to say this probably is not a good time for this company to do this?
So to your point, it depends upon the size of the company. For companies that are in the smaller-ish size range.
So dollar-wise, what are we talking about?
Dollar-wise, revenue of, say, 50 or 75 or below.
Okay.
Million or below. Mm-hmm. If most focused on, you know, is there a lot of small business or other set-aside content in their business? And, you know, is there a good pipeline of full and open opportunities? So, you know, one of the most, you know, challenging aspects of a deal to sell through is the concern on the part of a buyer that the contracts are not transferable. So, you know, that's one area that we worry about on those smaller companies. If it's much more of a technology play, not having demonstrated market acceptance of that technology. Technology is only as good as what that market is and the view into what the market demand is going to be for that technology. So, you know, that's another thing that we worry about if you've spent a lot of money and invested in intellectual property. You know, where is that demonstrated, that demonstrated customer base, that demonstrated a market around that technology? So that's probably the biggest concern around the small smaller companies. When you get to the larger size, it's really the ability to have demonstrated consistent growth and some visibility in the projections. And sales of larger companies just tend to be easier because they tend to be much more diversified. But I think that would be just making sure they're shored up, both from the ability to articulate the value proposition and the ability to articulate what the real profile is and growth from both a revenue and a profitability standpoint.
Gene, a final thought. I don't know if this is a fair analogy or not, but I'm a radio geek, obviously, and the radio station market is starting to heat up, has over the last 6 months to a year, but stations are selling at far lower multiples. That's the measure that's used in selling stations, multiples of cash flow, multiples of revenue, than they have historically. So there are still a lot of people that think that it is a buyer's market, even though cash is pretty readily available. Is there such a thing as a buyer's or seller's market in the M&A in the federal space? And if so, what kind of market is it right now?
There absolutely is, buyers versus sellers market. And I would tell you, in this particular industry, it is purely company specific. So, well, I could tell you that the median multiple paid for transactions on an EBITDA multiple is 7.5 or so.
Mm-hmm.
We see companies that trade, and this industry is typically valued on an EBITDA multiple. We see companies that trade anywhere from 3.5 times EBITDA, that companies that trade for, 23.5 times EBITDA. So there really is a broad range, and it depends upon what that growth profile look like, what the differentiated aspects of the business, if it's technology driven, what that market looks like, and how much revenue and growth synergies are available. So very diverse valuation, I would say, for larger companies or companies that have a premium position in their market and a differentiated position and are showing some growth. It absolutely is a seller's market. For companies that have much more of a commodity orientation to their business or any kind of set-aside content, is much more of a buyer's market.